The Rights Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS and brought to you by Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process at BriggsAuction.com. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of the process. And Surfside, iced tea and vodka from Stateside Vodka, the official drink of Philly sports and the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe and me and Mike. I'll be writing tomorrow. Subscribe at RightsRickySanchez.com/newsletter. On the show today, the Sixers have won six in a row. They're the team nobody wants to play. D'Anthony Melton is back. Joel Embiid is healthy. We must answer the very important question. Is this the year? It is a big question that I feel like we have to answer in this pod for everybody else. I mentioned Surfside iced tea and vodka as we warm up. It's been a warm week here in the Northeast. I think it's going to cool off a little bit today, but as the warm weather comes, baseball is here. Surfside iced tea and vodka at Citizens Bank Park or wherever you're watching the game, in the backyard, in the living room. Surfside iced tea and vodka is the drink. Just a few grams of sugar, 100 calories. Tastes great. That's why you see it everywhere. It tastes better. And no bubbles, because there's no carbonation in iced tea, damn it. Get the iced tea and vodka, or the iced tea lemonade and vodka, the peach tea and vodka. Go to statesidevodka.com. You can order it there, but you got to be 21. And a sad note before we get going, wanted to send a rest in peace and God bless and send thoughts out to family and friends of legendary DJ Mr. C. Mr. C is largely credited with discovering Biggie, was a producer on Ready to Die, but was also a coworker of mine in New York, worked at 94.7 The Block, and passed away suddenly today. I was 57 years old, and was always just sort of happy dude every time I saw him, and 57, incredibly young, and a good man who lived a really cool life. So rest in peace, Mr. C. And without any further ado, Amos and the Chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
Say the name, I say the name, I say the name.
We will write y'all.
Welcome to the Rights Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Geskin, along with a guy who will be on the parade championship float wearing nothing but a smile. That is one Mike Levin.
Could it be?
Could it be?
Could it just be? I'm watching Grizzlies Cavs. I was celebrating a couple Jake LaRavia threes while you were doing the intro.
Glad you're dialed in.
I'm dialed in. I'm dialed in the way that
You are.
That I am.
Yeah.
And man, some teams are melting down up there. Giannis is hurt, out for the rest of the regular season. A lot of teams losing.
Could you start to hear calf out of that plan. You start to hear calf, and I wouldn't obviously do not wish injury on anyone ever. You start to hear calf, you start worrying about Achilles. You know, they got to be very careful with that Giannis calf injury. He's been suffering with it for a while. So here is the situation with the Sixers. D'Anthony Melton.
Back.
Not a bad back. Good back, actually. Oh,
first one.
Shocking, A, that he's back before Covington, but yes. Also that he's back at all. I think we were both prepared for D'Anthony Melton not to be back at all this season. I was pretty prepared for it.
Yeah.
He is a fucking stunningly important piece to the Sixers rotation.
Yeah.
He obviously needs some time to ramp up, but he looked he didn't look like he was favoring anything physically. He looked like D'Anthony Melton with just enough games to get going. Huge. Embiid looks more and more normal every game.
Yeah.
Had what, 37, 11, and 8 against...
And 3 and 2. Shooting, what to me the biggest important thing, 9 attempted threes.
He has decidedly, it seems like, shot threes more willingly since he has come back.
Yeah. The mid-range felt really back last night, but it's the threes that I'm intrigued by. I think the negative way to look at it is that he doesn't fully trust the neon drives yet, maybe.
Yep. Yep.
In places that he would in the past have driven. But 9 threes is 9 threes. We've been asking him to do that kind of stuff for a long time. He hit 4 of them.
Yep,
he still
got
to the line 10 times. Like, it's a good mix of that kind of thing, especially because, you know, Embiid being a threat from out there, being willing to pull early in the shot clock, obviously he can always get deeper, but there's times when you just like, he's unwilling to pull from three in the past, unwilling to pull from three, then starts to dribble into a double team, backs him down, and then there's not enough time to like redo another set, like get into another possession. And I'd always just prefer, I love his touch. I always prefer to just get him up. And I'm happy to see him be doing that. Obviously, Detroit is a bad team, and that was far from the best defense he's going to face. But the shooting is important. The a ton of great, like, back to the basket bounce passes to cutters behind him. One to Tobias, one to Kelly. Had a really nice scoop pass to Jeff Downton. Nice timely cut. He just looked good. This was the best game he looked back. Obviously, it's not hard to play against fucking James Wiseman. But it's good to see him. Good to see him do his thing, ramping up.
Nobody I'd rather see him look good against James Wiseman than not good against James Wiseman.
That's right.
If we're, so, you know, on some level, so another guy that was back was Tobias. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to open up this part of the conversation with this call to 833 Lickface.
This is Prezzy here. I think back in November, I called and I said to you guys, what if we put Oubre in the starting lineup instead of Tobias? And I would have no way of knowing how you responded when you heard this, because it didn't go on the air. But I think you probably just said, this fucking guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. But what about now? What about now, Spike?
So Tobias is back.
Wow.
Tobias is back. That was a little threatening.
It is a little threatening. I like callers ending their voicemail with, what about now, Spike?
Yeah.
Just overall.
Tobias is back. Looked like fucking Tobias or whatever last night.
I don't know. A little physicality in the interior. 12 rebounds, 4 offensive.
Come on, it was against Detroit. Doesn't count.
I'd rather see him look good against Detroit. I did like seeing him be physical. It did feel like this is an intentional. He wasn't sleepwalking through and sort of like waving at rebounds and stuff. He was going to get them. I liked seeing it.
Melton is back. The question of the starting lineup is there. Here is my thought on it, and I am obviously curious about yours. My thought on it is start Tobias quick hook. Be ready to adjust. I think the other lineup that we're talking about, which is the Lowry, Maxey, Melton, Batum, Embiid lineup, is interesting, but it is small. And
it's like it's Milwaukee, right? Like,
yeah,
you would put Melton on Chris Middleton. That's something that you would feel comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. And then you'd put...
But then you have Giannis and Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, but you'd put Lowry on Dame, and you'd put Maxey on either Papev or Malik Beasley.
Well, here's my issue is that here's the concern. Look, they can leave Tobias Harris in fucking Camden for all I care.
I know that you think that.
I have regularly said I think they will be better with him just not showing up.
Sure.
But it is relying awfully heavy on a 38-year-old and a 35-year-old to play a lot of minutes in the playoffs, because I think there is a possibility that if you send Tobias to the bench, you fucking lose him. So my thought would be, try it and be ready to bail and have a quick trigger and say, look, if this guy, if we're going to get the Tobias we've had in the playoffs for the last several years, now the other side of that is you're likely going to be against a team who you don't have one game to spare, right? You can't blow a game figuring out if Tobias is going to go there if you're playing Milwaukee or the Knicks or whoever it is. So where are you at with Tobias and the Sixers starting lineup?
I think it's just got to be matchup dependent and opponent dependent. And I'm absolutely fine with a start and a quick hook. I'd be fine with a come off the bench and give him like the first three touches against the bench unit, not play him against in closing lineups. I just need, the biggest thing to me is that he cannot close when he's not playing well. That is the 100% biggest thing to me. If he's playing well, then sure, let him do his thing. He is a serviceable one-on-one defender and he can hit a shot. He can do his thing. We know what Tobias can do, get you a bucket, blah, blah, blah. But like, if he's not playing well, if he's shooting like 4 of 12 and like 0 of 2 from three, and he's missing rotations, and it's just, we're grandfathering him into closing lineups, that in playoff games, that's really going to be what absolutely kills me. So if they want to start Tobias because of respect for the team and because of the like vibe in the locker room, that's fine. I'm not going to fight him on it, but he cannot automatically be in. The two guys that are the only two guys that can automatically be in those lineups are Maxey and Embiid and nobody else. It cannot be anybody else. It has to be based on who is playing well and who is, what the matchups are.
Well, I almost feel like Melton is almost a necessary piece too in the starting lineup. Maybe not.
Minute monitoring thing. He talked about how like I forget if this was on with Lauren Rosen or not, but it was him talking, or if it was just Kate talking about it on the broadcast. But he said that the first time that they ramped him up a little early and he wasn't feeling as good, he just really wanted to come back, and so he maybe rushed it a little bit. Now they really took their time in the ramping up, in the pausing phase, and it's slowly working him back in, and he said he feels a lot better. So hopefully that's the case, but I think that is an argument to be made that, like, look, they have guys. They can go right now feeling very, very comfortable, at least 9 deep.
9, yeah.
I think that there are matchups where Nurse would trust Jeff Dalton now that he's signed to a full contract. There are matchups where KJ Martin makes a little bit of sense. Even campaign if one of the other guards are hurt. Obviously, I would love Covington to be in the mix there, but it's probably not going to happen. I don't think that there is harm in going Melton is going to play like 18 to 22 minutes and we'll see how he looks, how he feels, and we'll monitor, because you don't want to burn him out too fast if he's being rushed back and he's not ready for it.
The Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process. BriggsAuction.com. Download the app at the App Store or Google Play. It's simply fun. Briggs Auction is a family-owned and operated auction house in Delco. And the reason I say it's fun is because I like stuff, man. And Briggs Auction, I was in that warehouse, so much stuff, from collectibles to art to furniture, one-of-a-kind furniture, classic furniture, clothes. CJ, bring us your CJ's Briggs Auction item of the week.
It's a lot. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it's a lot. And there was a lot of options. There's so many gaming consoles, a lot of old gaming consoles, that I was trying to pick one, but then I was like, for one item, like, I want to promote it all.
Dude, it had the original NES in box.
Yeah.
The original Nintendo Entertainment System in box, and the auction's happening now.
But I had a change of heart.
Okay.
Once I saw this item.
Okay.
Streaming services are getting too expensive.
Oh boy.
Speak, you gotta make the switch.
Oh, DVDs.
Get your physical media collection up.
Blu-rays.
They're coming back. We got, what do we got?
Except for the streaming service that I'm
of course,
right now.
Of course. Everything else,
time comes.
Yeah, that's fine. We got The Dark Knight. There's two lots here, and they're very, very affordable. So
I love
there
it.
You go.
The Dark Knight. We got Man of Steel. A lot of classics here. A lot of comfort films. Saw 6.
Flight Argo. Of the Conquers, let's go.
Yeah. Argo.
Rambo.
Hangover 2.
There's absolutely a few films in here that you're going to love. And it's better to have it on demand.
This is all just one guy. One guy straight out of 2007.
Yep.
Just like
it, but I do miss physical media with CDs and DVDs.
It's better to pop them in than have to have your service price hiked.
We still get
No buffering.
Still
gets DVDs sometimes. It's a lot of links, but I've been sitting on the DVD of Coda.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. Next to me that I have not watched and will eventually.
And it's a better quality. It looks better on the TV as opposed to streaming most of the time.
I'm going to be, when I'm back on the air at IP, I'll be in SAG-AFTRA again. And I remember when we would get the Oscar DVDs in the mail.
That's what we get.
It's fucking awesome. Anyway, BriggsAuction.com. I did mention there is a full unopened NES on the current auction. Every week, there's a new auction. I love it. I love Briggs Auction. Download the app in the Google Play or the App Store. You win a lot. There's open pickup on Saturdays, or you can make an appointment during the week, or they can work with a trusted shipper to send it to you. And if you have a giant collection of DVDs you would like to auction off, you have to use Briggs Auction. Send an email to info@briggsauction.com. That is Briggs Auction, the official auction of the Ricky. All right. So
I had a couple tiny things on the game.
Oh, of course. Okay. All right. What do you
got? I just love seeing Kelly Oubre do well. Blocking James Wiseman's dunk attempt.
And then taking on the entire Pistons team.
Absolutely. Three blocks for Oubre. Gotta love him.
So DraftKings.
No, fucking say it, Spike.
I'm saying it. DraftKings.
What was the line that the caller said at the end of his?
What now, Spike? Or something.
How about now, Spike?
What about now? So we got DraftKings to do, DraftKings did an Oubre over five assists or over line. It was plus 550.
Yep.
Of course, two games left, which he has to get five or more assists in both to hit your number of five. He's at 3, shockingly. He did come through with 0 assists.
Well, I don't actually know that that's true.
Okay.
I tasked young CJ.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ.
With a little clip to bring up.
Okay.
He did have, technically he had 0 assists.
Yep.
But as this clip will show.
Unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Some statistician.
You're not allowed to do prep. That's not how the pod works.
There's some statistician chicanery that went on here. CJ, let's play it for me.
Yeah, he's a big body for sure, and he plays big at times.
A pass.
Oh, wait a minute. Was that a pass or a missed shot? Hold on.
That is, to me, as much as a pass as anything I've ever seen in my life.
He's a block shot.
Drops it right in his lap. There it is. Go up and then a little drop down. Gets him up and then drops it down to Embiid.
So
and if I saw, and you know, these guys get handed the stats on the bench. And if he saw, I didn't get a fucking assist for that, then it would make me go, well, why am I even passing that? I'm definitely going to get credit for these shots.
He didn't pass it.
Clean pass, robbed of one. And that only makes me think like, man, how many more assists was he robbed of this season? Because some statistician has like an uncle that's a ref.
Well, I want to put out the call to Brian Pollock, who is a regular listener of the pod. Of course, I think he's Harvey Pollock's grandson, but I think he does stats.
Look at him drop it down there. Drops it right down, right in his lap. Beautiful. Embiid seals Troy Brown Jr. Drops it right in his lap.
Can I tell you why that is definitely not a pass? There's no world in which Kelly Oubre would get the ball that close to the rim and pass it. Maybe there's no world.
Maybe not Kelly from the past.
Yeah.
But Kelly in the future.
Okay. Anyway, your notes. Back to your notes. Sorry.
It was nice to see Buddy Hield hitting some shots.
Yeah.
It was really nice to see hitting some shots, especially from the corners. He was 5 of 9 from 3.
Yeah.
Those shots are going to be open for him. He's plus 21, led the team. It was really, really nice. I don't think he's not good enough defensively to start. He's not dynamic enough offensively to get over 30 minutes. But like as the seventh or eighth guy on this team, like he could get hot and you need a guy that can get hot. Like we really wanted Bogdanovich. I think he's a better on ball player as far as like creating for others, but
he's a better passer. He's a better shooter,
but I don't know about better shooter, Buddy.
Yeah, he's a, oh, Buddy. I'm sorry. I was back on Oubre. I'm sorry. Yes, he's not a better shooter than Buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. So Buddy, right. I mean, he's just he can just get hot in a way that the other team is fully going to have to account for, and then all of a sudden, like, you're not doubling Maxi or Embiid because you're worried about Buddy getting open. And so it's nice to see that. It's Detroit, but it happens. Jeff Doughton is just playing nice basketball. He's just a nice, normal player, very reminiscent of some of the like old process teams where all of a sudden like an adult comes in.
And we would be like, oh my God, what is this?
This guy's got something.
Yeah.
Larry Drew style.
Yeah. Ish.
Really nice to see. And I think Nurse trusts him, and I'm glad he got signed for the rest of the year. They gave him a team option for next year. We'll see if he ends up sticking around. But he's a nice player, seems like a good culture fit. And he's just kind of like an innings eater, as far as if I can make a cross sport comparison. Like against a bad team, he can get you like 5 or 6 innings and just like move it along. And mm-hmm. I've in a time when you're trying to limit how much you're taxing Kyle Lowry. Maxi played so many minutes in that overtime game, so he sits. That's fine. The fact that they can survive with Campaign and Jeff Doughton as the point guard rotation in this game was just nice to see. It's good when they're not fully falling apart with one guy going out. Got to note that Embiid and B-Ball played minutes together. Not the first time this has happened.
Also not on purpose.
Kind of.
No. B-Ball was coming to get Embiid. We'll get to it, but B-Ball was coming to get Embiid and Embiid waved him off. So he sent him in for Oubre instead, I think is what happened. So, but it was nice to see. I bet they were +6 in those minutes. So
I like it, man. I like throwing a different look. It's nice when Embiid doesn't have to be the only one getting rebounds back there. The fact, and like B-Ball can, you know, go for a steal or go for like a big block somewhere knowing that Embiid's behind him. Which is cool to see. And it's, you know, they've won 6 games in a row. They have 2 more games, both at home.
Yeah.
There's a chance that they won't have had to leave Philadelphia for, if they can avoid the play-in, even if the play-in is at home,
yeah,
then they won't have had to leave for Philadelphia for almost 2 weeks. And that matters. Like, as far as like an NBA season goes, you feel way more fresh if you don't have to travel that much.
Also,
it's settling in.
Players recovering from injury with your home, you know, the training staff being at home with all that kind of stuff, I think matters too. So here's the situation. I think I have all this, but I actually don't think I have all this. So to get the 6th seed, Indiana.
No, I don't have it.
Okay.
I keep looking at it. And I'm like, no, just rooting for everybody to lose.
So here are the options. I believe Indiana has to lose their final 2 games. The Sixers have to win out in all of these scenarios.
Of course.
Indiana has to lose their final 2 games, or the Magic have to lose the Sixers game plus one of the 2 Milwaukee games.
Yeah, so that I know.
And Miami needs to lose to Dallas,
which just started on ESPN.
Or only needs to lose once. They played Dallas and they played Toronto twice.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, and I think there's a scenario where if the Magic lose out, that could change something, or Cleveland. I don't know. But I think the 2 main scenarios are the Indiana one losing at Cleveland and Atlanta, or Magic losing to the Sixers and Milwaukee one of the 2 times and Miami losing once.
Cleveland, I looked at this today. Sixers and Cleveland tied 2-2. One of those losses should have been a win. And if Cleveland loses
out,
well, they play Indiana.
Yeah.
In a couple days. If they lose one of their other 2 games and Indiana, then the Sixers will have the tie, will have the conference tiebreaker over them.
Okay.
So when they tie, if they tie with 46 wins or 47 wins, then they would 47 wins and they would tie and Sixers would advance.
So the super interesting thing about this is that aside from the play-in, which we don't even know who they would play in the play-in at this point, is even at the 7 or the 6 or the 8 is the only spot where we know who they would play. They would play Boston. If they wind up in the 7 or 6, they could play Milwaukee. They could play the Knicks, who are a game out of the 2 seed. They could play Orlando. They could play Cleveland.
I don't think there's a team in the East in the playoff picture that they cannot play. In some way, whether it's
play-in or
in the 6-3 or 4-5.
I would You know what? We'll get to it when we get to the year. We'll get to it in a second. My stance on this.
You want the plan.
I actually just don't care.
That's probably right.
Yeah. I actually just don't care. And the reason I don't care about being in the play-in is that I do think that winning the play-in is good.
Yeah.
And I also think if you can't win the play-in, then fuck off anyway.
Yeah, I just don't want Boston in the first round.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I would just like to get a little momentum and build towards that.
What do you think about MOC's theory that if we get Boston in the first round, we are guaranteed a healthy Embiid? And that is the better chance of beating Boston in the first round than any other round. He hates Boston so much.
Yeah.
MOC fucking hates the Celtics.
Yeah,
hates
for sure.
Them. Yeah.
I hear the logic of it for sure. Mm-hmm. And they're this a similar logic of why it was like kind of a bank shot, but good that Embiid got hurt when he did. Mm-hmm. And so that he only has like a couple games to stay fresh and stay healthy in there. You know, I think that he'll be healthy against Boston, but he still won't be like fully ramped up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I don't care also. Let's just, please just win some fucking rounds. All God right. Damn it. Daryl, I'm just not going to give a fuck. If Daryl, if we do the same argument this off season about how you haven't beat anybody that matters, and it's good actually that you've lost in the second round forever. That's actually good.
One of us is going to have to kick him in the dick if that happens.
Yeah, I'll go over there.
Yeah. Nobody else. We'll take care of it. You know, I don't want anybody else doing that sort of thing.
Just beat somebody that matters. Honestly, even win a first round series against somebody that matters, which would happen this year.
Yeah.
Even any team that's in the play, Orlando, New York, Cleveland, even if any of them are struggling or injured.
Orlando doesn't count.
I think Orlando absolutely counts. That they would be the best team that the Sixers team has beaten in the playoffs in this era.
I only think it counts beating Orlando if it's in the second round. I don't care if they beat Orlando in the first round.
Well, they have to beat anybody. Anybody they beat, they have to beat them. That's it. There's no version of it where they don't beat somebody to get to the second round. And whoever they beat in the first round, if they beat them,
they
will
be
the best team that they have beaten in Embiid's career in the playoffs.
The only debatable part is if they play fucking Cleveland, that team is so fraudulent.
It's not debatable. Currently, the Raptors... The post-Kawhi, post-Lowry Raptors.
You're right.
It's not close.
Well, so the Rice Ricky Sanchez presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I mentioned the Sixers are now the team that nobody wants to play. I think they're gaining some media. And by the way, the last time this happened was the 16 in a row at the end of the regular season when all of a sudden the Sixers became like a sexy pick to win the conference. So I'm looking at DraftKings Sportsbook futures. The Sixers over the last week have gone from plus, I believe, 1,400 to plus 750. The Celtics are favored at minus 150, the Bucks at plus 450. So the odds are, the at least the betting odds are coming closer to the Sixers. To be in this position, considering Embiid missed over 2 months and the Sixers are still basically the third favorite in the East to win the conference, is a blessed position. We are in a blessed position. And thank you, DraftKings Sportsbook, for doing the Kelly Oubre prop. We're going to need it the final two games. Mike, what do you think the chances of Oubre doing 5+ assists in the final two games are?
I mean, 100. He's going to do it. I wouldn't want it any other way, by the way. The fact
coming
that
down
we're
to the
here,
final two games? Yeah.
Two games left. This is our last pod before the last game of the season.
Yep.
We have two games left. He needs 5 in both.
Yes.
He needs 5 assists in both.
DraftKings, give us a line on both.
A little That's rude that Jeff Doughton got 6 assists.
Yeah.
All of those, I think, could have been Kelly's. And if you count the one that CJ already showed us, was a robbed assist. Then that would have been 7. And that would have basically counted for more. That would have been a season high, maybe career high.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, if you're a new customer, use code RTRS. You bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code RTRS. New customers can bet $5 to win $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code RTRS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21. See show notes for details. So we have a before we get to the question of it being the year, we do have a combination relationship advice and B-ball and Embiid together question. So with that, I give you Eliza Hardy Jones. Oh. Shout out Eliza Hardy Jones and her new solo album, as well as War on Drugs for stealing Eliza from us. So we rarely get a relationship advice question on the voicemail, but we did get one to 833-LICKFACE, which also includes Embiid and B-ball.
Hey guys, Kevin here. You know, we saw some Embiid B-ball minutes tonight, which was awesome. I called like last week asking for that. Asking for thoughts on it. I think we're going to get more of it, and I think it could be useful in the playoffs. I need some relationship advice as well. I was at the dog park today, and I met, you know, like the cutest girl I've ever seen, of course. But I don't have a dog. I was just watching a dog. I watch this dog like once a week. So my only opportunity to see this girl again is, I feel like, when I have the dog, because it's too weird to hang out just like near the dog park without a dog, right? Confirm, let me know. Anyway, I'm down bad.
All right. The beginning of the question, I saw this girl in a dog park, but I don't even have a dog, is maybe one of my favorite voicemail moments of that we've ever gotten.
Yeah, it started to get dangerous there, but yeah. Either, I don't know, get a dog. Get a dog then. Good as reasons any.
My position is this. If you borrow the dog, see the girl, you go up to her, you talk to her, and you know what? You just be honest. You're like, look, this ain't my dog. I saw you last time here at the dog park. I felt weird coming back without a dog. I borrowed this dog just to say hi to you.
Borrowed?
Yeah. What's your name?
I would say like baby, like I'm dog sitting.
Borrowed the dog is funny.
Borrowed feels, I'm asking questions at borrowed.
Really?
I'm like backing away.
I think it's kind of cute. As long as don't speak in that creepy tone. Let that go, you know? But be honest eventually. Don't keep up the lie about the dog. Either adopt a dog, borrow a dog, or what was the other option you just came up with? You don't borrow a dog. What do you do? What do you get a dog?
I mean, you can adopt one or just like your dog sit. Your dog sit.
Dog sit.
Borrowing, there's a, it's like, oh, you killed the dog's owner is really what.
No, well, I'm not.
If a stranger came up to me and was like, wait, I borrowed this dog. I was like, well, bad things are in this person's wake.
Hey, Mike, that's a cool like tennis racket. Where'd you get it? I'm borrowing it from a friend.
Well, it's different when it's a living thing. Yeah. It's a living thing, not a racket.
Don't you give me the dog as a living thing. I'm fucking dog guy.
Of course,
guy
but
over
I just, the, for the word borrow, I think is just like okay. Borrow a fucking pack of sugar or whatever the fuck.
Here's a borrow, quote. So here's an important part of the podcast. We've been, you know, shout out Zoe, been talking about it. Is this the year for many years now? And I believe I committed very early this season to
come
it
on, being, Grizzlies.
Being the year. Very early to it being the year. Then, of course, Embiid got hurt. Here's a quote from Nico Batum. The rhythm is coming back. Joel is coming back. Melton is going to come back. Everything is finally aligning for us, which has been a bit of a struggle for the last 2.5 months. So it's cool. Melton's back. Embiid is back. I am positive. For me, it is the year.
It's the most the year for you? That it's ever been?
This is the most the year for me it's ever been. You know me. I've been heavily doubting the Sixers in largely every playoff run. I was famously wrong about the Raptors series because I thought they were about to give up. I thought the Raptors were about to give up. I did think the Sixers were going to win that. but this is the most positive I've been. The Eastern Conference is in disarray. It is. It's weak. The Sixers, with Joel Embiid this year, are 30-8. When he has played, he has been the best player in the league. When he has played, they have been the second best team in the league. Everybody's back. The Bucks are fraudulent. The Knicks are a regular season team. The Orlando Magic are a cute story. The Indiana Pacers are a regular season parlor trick. The Miami Heat, eventually playing this game, this we don't try during the regular season bullshit, is eventually not going to work. And if Jimmy Butler doesn't get super hot against the Bucks last year, who knows what happens with that team? And honestly, the Celtics are a very good regular season team, but how many times have we seen over the last several years, including the Sixers, very good regular season teams not translating to the postseason? I am still skeptical of their ability to get to the rim and not rely on, you know, step back jumpers.
They had zero free throws.
Zero.
Last night's game.
Zero free throws. Seems impossible, right?
I think I saw it's the first time in NBA history that's happened.
Mike, I just feel like there's no bad vibes players on the team except for Tobias, and he's not even that bad a vibes guy. He's just fucking
off the court, the vibes are impeccable.
We have the bad vibes on Tobias. He doesn't even have bad. He just wants to leave, and that's fine. I respect it. I just think it's going to happen. And I think we need to be part of it, of willing it to happen. And part of that is like not being our pathetic normal selves and just waiting for the fucking football to be removed. I think we have to try to kick the football. I think they have to try to kick the football. And if Lucy moves it, then fucking fine. We've been on our backs before. But what if we fucking kick the football? What if she doesn't pull it away? Right? What if this is the one time Lucy doesn't move the football? I think it's time in our arc, in the Sixers arc, and Embiid is 30. That's kind of when these things start to happen for a lot of players, when it hasn't happened before. They have a good team. They can play defense well. They can play offense well. And they have debatably the best player in the league. Let's just fucking do it this time. It is the year. That is my position.
It's just gotta be, man.
It's gotta be the year.
It's just gotta be. They have a coach. They have
a real coach.
Smart players now. They have guys who shoot. They have guys who play defense. The backup center is not an issue. If Joel stays healthy, it should be the year. It should be the year. And if it's not, we're due for another podcast in the dark with a Mike Scott headband around my neck.
I'm going to be in the dark too. Nobody's going to see anything.
That's good.
We're both going to have the
cameras off.
Logo.
Yeah, I fucking charged it too. Dude. I swear to God, it was charging for so. It's defective. The thing's fucking. CJ's pranking me. I can't act like I will not be scared.
Yes.
But so, I have felt for since I guess they got Lowry and he started playing well. And even before that, once the Batum acquisition was fully integrated to the team, that just the balance of this team around Joel and Maxi and how Maxi's taken another step, and it just felt like this is the best team that they've had around Joel, the team that made the most sense. I think that the team that lost on the Kawhi shot was really, really thin outside of the top five. And they didn't have that much shooting in the top five. It was just really JJ. I just feel like there's a ton of different looks that this team can throw at you. They can beat you in different ways. They have the best offensive player in the league. And Maxi, who has had 350-point games, it should be it. And the East is vulnerable. I don't think it's weak, but I do think it's very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good teams that are capable of being very good, but they're also struggling right now. I'm excited to watch other matchups. The Sixers matchup I will be watching, no matter who it is, through my fingertips, because they are still the Sixers. But
here's another thing, dude.
Win two rounds and let me survive.
I was thinking about this last night as I was watching the game. Obviously, through all of this, through the years, we've had a bunch of players. We're like, he would be nice to have. He would be nice to have. You know, guys that are Sixers that were never Sixers. Terrence Ross, somebody gave me an example. Terrence Ross was a classic Sixer, but he was never a Sixer. We have them this year. We have Kyle Lowry, been talking about him for years. He's on the Sixers. Nick Batum, been talking about him for years.
No, Batum has never talked about as a Sixer.
Sure he is. He's on the Sixers. We got Covington back.
Monte Ellis has been talked about as a Sixer more than Nick Batum has.
We got Covington back. He's a fucking Sixer. Let's go. Now, here is my question to you. I was thinking of like how we handle it. Now, you said you're going to get negative, which is obvious. You know, they're going to lose games. I think there's a few things. First of all, and this is a very selfish one. If they lose, you cannot blame the people who said it was a year. You got to blame the Sixers. they have earned your distrust over the years. They've fucked up so many times. If they lose, it's their fault. That's the first thing. The second thing is...
Not specifically yours, is what you're saying.
Not specifically mine.
Okay.
The second thing is, I think once the regular season ends, no more off-season talk until the season is over. I don't care what Bronny does. I don't care what Paul George does. I don't care if he says something on a podcast. It's great for during the season. It's great for the off-season. LeBron is not doing it anymore. I am reclaiming Zero Dark 30, and we are going Zero Dark 30 on off-season acquisitions.
It's so funny that that's the phrase, because it's just because Dark is in there. It's well, not what the movie's about.
No, but he said it, so it's still funny.
Sure.
And those are the two. Those are like the two things I think. Just if you don't want it to be, if you don't think it's a year and you're not in, that's fine. No the year shaming people, no off-season talk. And I would say within your ability to do so, limit the whininess and bitchiness.
It's about staying healthy and getting hot at the right time. Sixers have won six in a row. NC State ran through the ACC tournament and then got to the Final Four. You just get hot at the right time and things start to click. By the way, great tournament. I know that the UConn just ran. I just fucking love the tournament. Men's tournament, women's tournament, fucking great. Loved all of it. I'll miss it. A little part of me dies every year until it comes back. But they just got to get hot. They got to get hot. They got to hit shots. They got to stay healthy. They got to not fucking double too much. They got to force them to take tough shots. They got to get downhill. They got to get to the line. They got to get to the rim. Make those passes. Don't get cute. Dunk the fucking ball. These are all just... this is the like lawn sign for me on the, you know, the part that says like, in this house, we believe.
Yes.
And yeah. It's just me saying, all
in this house,
things.
We believe in dunking the ball and not over helping.
Fucking, yeah. Not fucking doing it.
Ooh, that's a good t-shirt, man.
It's got to happen, man.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. We deserve it. We've been suffering for a very long time. Just win, just get to the conference finals and I'll be fine. I promise.
The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. Of course, if they hurt us again, we will sue. Class action. We will sue. You hear a lot of advertisements for personal injury lawyers. I can tell you, throw them all away. Do not talk to any of those people. If you are injured in an accident, medical malpractice, slip and fall, car accident, yada, 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 Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. You want to deal with somebody in the Ricky community. Kornblau in the Ricky community. You want to deal with somebody who has experience and success, Kornblau and Kornblau, 4 decades. Some of the biggest medical malpractice results in all of Southeastern PA. You want somebody who's going to give you personal, person-to-person, informative, what's the word I'm looking for?
Comprehensive.
Communication. Kornblau and Kornblau is what you're going to get.
That's
you
right.
See the, you see this, what's that?
I said, that's right.
You see these other ads, what they are is referral services. When you hear that little disclaimer at the end of the ad, they go, I actually can't practice law in your state. What are you doing advertising that? Kornblau can practice law in your state. He's got an office in Jenkintown. He's got offices all over the Delaware Valley, but will come to you. And the best part, if you have any questions about these things, just reach out. You're going to get Kornblau. They're not going to ship you off to somebody else. They're not going to tell you to call somebody else. It's not a referral service. It is Kornblau, K-O-R-N-B-L-A-U. Here's how to get in touch with them. Doesn't cost you anything to reach out. Nothing. 215-576-7200, ask for Adam, or email Kornblau at kornblauandkornblau.com. The Kornblau in that is spelled out A-N-D. And even though it's a personal injury law firm, I was actually talking to a prospective Ricky advertiser yesterday who had reached out to Kornblau for non-personal injury advice, which he got from Kornblau. Great guy. We love him. Trust him. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. Now, one thing that we haven't talked about, Sixers related, which I think is pertinent, is...
Cleveland down 3.5, by the way.
Just who is?
Cleveland down 3 to the Grizzlies at half.
There we go. Man, they are collapsing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Fuck, man.
Dallas and Miami, close game, end of the first quarter. We're monitoring. We are monitoring the situation.
So, you mentioned Jeff Doughton was converted to an NBA contract. A guy who had another fun game on Tuesday night was Ricky Council the Fourth. Still on a two-way. Got this email from Brad. An idea, how about in honor of that incredible double overtime effort, an honorary Ricky Council for the Ricky Council? The council made up of the constellation of Ricky stars could weigh in on pertinent issues like bands, how to wipe your behind, Mike versus Mike, etc. Daryl can only be on it if he converts him to a regular contract and signs him long-term. Now, great. Ricky Council has to be signed by Sunday to be eligible for the playoffs.
Mavs!
Why... is he, I don't understand why he is not, maybe, are they holding?
Here's what it has to be. And I haven't talked to anybody, so I don't
know. Does council want maybe more than a one-year deal to sign it?
That's what I think that it is. I think that it's like, he is going, I have proven enough, or his agents or whatever,
yeah,
are saying, I have proven enough in this regular season that I'm an NBA player and I want to sign like, a four-year, $20 million contract or something like that, or $315 or whatever it is. And Daryl...
Or even $39 or $310.
Or Daryl doesn't want to do that. He wants more team options, flexibility in case a big fish comes around. Whether the book is closed on that, I don't know. But I wonder if they're waiting until like almost the last minute in hopes that Daryl goes... You know, if Daryl and Elton are playing hardball with Ricky's agents going like, he will not play in the playoffs unless he signs this kind of contract. And that's going to be a tough pill to swallow that's like a tough game of chicken for both guys. Where for the Sixers, it's like, they are kind of going to need
him. Hey guys, this is
in some situations.
My fault.
They would like that infusion of talent and athleticism and size and physicality and attacking the rimness and getting fouled, that there are situations when he would come in. It would be a tool in the toolbox that you would remove from Nick Nurse if he doesn't give him a contract. And on the Ricky side of things, he's like, I think he wants to play on this team. Like, he's a guy who wants to play to take himself out of the running because he's not going to do it. My hope is that they meet in the middle. Everybody's better angels win out here. And Ricky signs a mutually beneficial contract, because I would feel pretty annoyed if he's not on this postseason roster. He's been too helpful to too many wins in his short career so far. And I wouldn't want to see him, the like resentment that could come from that. I wouldn't want to see him like leave and go somewhere else and all of a sudden be like, yeah, I'm a good, extremely cost controlled young player that's getting better.
I just want one game. Like, Melton gets hurt, and all of a sudden, Ricky Council's in the game for 12 minutes and gets two offensive rebounds and ones, and it changes the whole entire game. Yeah. Like, give me one of those.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would feel like, yes, the offseason is important. Yes, the amount of money that you are willing to or are able to sign Paul George or whatever, whoever it ends up being. It's not going to be Drew Holiday. He did sign a full extension with Boston that saves them a little money in the short term and then ties them to his dollar amount for the next 4 years. So that takes a guy off the list. But I understand that that's important, but it's also like, if there's a chance that Ricky could win you a game, could win you 4 minutes of fully juiced energy in a fourth quarter, when they look slow and stuck in the mud, and you don't do it because you're thinking that there's a possibility that somebody could come next year for the exact amount of money that you're unwilling to offer Ricky, and then you lose in the playoffs, and then Ricky leaves somewhere else, and then you don't get that guy. That would be very hurtful to me. And at a certain point, and you know this from your time in the John Gonzalez Execs League, at some point you just got to go all in. You just got to say, like, we're going for it this year.
Yep.
And you got to make your trades. You got to sign. Sometimes a guy gets injured and you got to cut him in the last couple weeks of the regular season. You planned on keeping him, but unfortunately you can't do it. If you want to win a championship, like you and I both have,
yep,
in that league.
Yep. We're both champions.
Then
honestly,
you got to make the call. And I think Daryl a little bit needs to go, like, there's a couple days left. Could still happen. Odds are Ricky's not going to win them a full game himself, but like, to take a tool out of the toolbox from Nick Nurse, I think would be a mistake. Got to do it.
Daryl, just a couple of points. Mike, executive who has won a championship.
That's right.
Spike, executive who has won a championship.
Well, co-executive. Got to give it to Mike.
Executive. Daryl, executive who has never won a championship.
Do you think he's never won a fantasy championship either?
I don't know.
I would like to hear it.
Yeah.
If he's won a fantasy basketball championship, then I need some proof about that.
Yeah. Daryl, the final thing, I don't know if you noticed, his name is Ricky.
Yeah. That's important to note.
His name is Ricky. This podcast you come on all the time is your favorite podcast, also called Ricky. Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go, I think is the right answer. Miami down 9 to Dallas early in the second quarter.
Wow. It's all coming together. This is like, was it 09? It was, when all those things had to happen for the Eagles to make the playoffs, and then they went in and kicked the shit out of the Cowboys in the final game of the season, ended up in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
This is that year, all that shit's happening.
Could use it.
Let's fucking go.
If Miami makes another run this year, man, I'm going to fucking lose it. It's just not deserved. They just can't keep getting away with it. They just can't. They're playing Patty Mills.
CJ, is Mike's internet glitchy or is it me? Oh, it's okay.
Your internet was glitchy a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's you.
Wow.
That's wild.
How the tables
have turned. Do you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. This email came from Jake, writes to RickySanchez@gmail.com. Spike, Mike, CJ, and Daryl. Like Mike, I have a bad stomach problem and I need to fart quite a bit. I am in college and I hold it in during class. But after class, I go to the bathroom to pee and of course fart. There's typically at least one other person there and I feel ashamed to fart out loud while we're both peeing, but it's harder to make it silent. Should I make an effort to make them quiet? Basketball question, who is a better bench spark plug for the playoffs, campaign or Ricky Council?
I mean, I'm going to say Ricky. I think that Cam is going to get targeted so much on the defensive end. I would much rather, he's a good shooter, obviously, but like as a guy that's going to get a defensive play, a steal and a dunk in transition. And then that wraparound pass to Batum was fucking crazy, dude. That's a really high, high level pass. And for him to make that at that stage when he wasn't playing the rest of the game before, unbelievable. And then farting is human. It's not that big of a deal.
In the bathroom? Yes, you can fart in the fucking bathroom.
You can't feel guilty about farting in the bathroom.
Yeah.
If we're feeling guilty about farting in the bathroom, then we're like saying we're not human beings. We're human beings. Bathroom is a place for farts.
Yeah. Where else are you going to fart? Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, outside is a good place to do it. But
well, yeah,
if you got to do it, if you've been holding it all class,
just go fart.
And go fart.
One voicemail before we go. 833 Lickface.
Evan in Santa Monica. We all complain about some of Maury's moves. Isaiah Joe, Buddy Hield's not working out, trading all of our draft picks, yada, yada. Well, how about the fact that he didn't trade Maxi? Many people in the media wanted us to get rid of Maxi for Damian Lillard because Lillard was a win-now player with Embiid having a few years in his prime. That would have been a colossal mistake to trade Maxi for Lillard. So we should give Maury not only credit for what he does, but what he doesn't do, and that he didn't trade Maxey. Let's not forget, a lot of us were saying we should go for Lillard over Maxey. Go Sixers.
It is a incredibly fair point, and I do think it's sort of a minor miracle that Tyrese Maxey never got traded.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But also, let's make clear, I didn't want to trade Maxey for Lillard.
Yes, but there were trades that you would have included Maxey in prior to this season.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just calling
this
all out.
Prior to last season, I think once last season started happening, I think it was like, this guy keeps getting better. And you kind of can't assume like we're trading him at the height of his value, still on a rookie contract for a guy that fell to 21. That's like not going to be a plus defender. That isn't that big, that kind of thing. But he just kept getting better. And now there's a very, very, very small list of players I would trade him for in this league. And I wouldn't be happy about any of them.
Actually, I want to hear your answer to this. Final voicemail, 833 Lickface.
Hey guys, this is Tyler. I was calling because I was thinking about how the Heat have that Heat culture logo that they put on their court now, which is just so fucking stupid.
I'm looking at it right
and
now.
And so. It had me thinking, like, what would the Sixers' word be? You know, what would their version of Heat culture be? And I was thinking, like, Sixers baggage could be the logo that they have, like, or Sixers trauma. I don't know. Something like that. You know, the whatever the professional one would be, like Sixers process or whatever. But I think Sixers baggage should be the word that they put. But I just kind of want to get your take on what do you guys think the word should be associated with the Sixers. Anyways, love the show. Take care.
Mike?
Maybe like Sixers, like, oh God. Jesus, fuck. Oh God. Something like that.
Yeah. I was going to go with fucking stupid, but yours is better. I think I'll go with yours.
Oh, the Mavs, dude, the fucking Mavs helping us out. We love Philadelphia has always loved Dallas.
Yep.
They're up 42-29. A little bit into the second quarter.
Wow.
And they're running them. I think Jimmy just missed a dunk at the rim.
So the Sixers lose to the Nets to lose out on the sixth seed.
This Magic team is scuffling and they are tough and physical and will make it really hard on Joel. And it is definitely not a guaranteed win over them. But if they win out and they end the regular season with 8 straight wins and they don't get out of the play-in, that'd be a real bummer. Like they kind of like deserve at that point, it would be like a real, and they get like, you know, tiebreakered out of the sixth seed. That would be a real piece of shit way to lose. They just deserve to be in at that point. They're playing so much better than everybody else. And we survived more missed games due to injury than any team aside from like Memphis in the NBA.
We will talk to you after Sunday's game to be able to talk about what the fuck is happening in the playoffs. Here we go again. We will talk to you Sunday. Are you done with TTP?
Well, let's just make sure.
What?
2 straight games, Kelly Oubre, 5 assists.
Oh, yeah.
To close it out. His back's against the wall. He procrastinated a little bit. Had a brief moment. I will say, had a brief moment where he did get hit by a car.
Oh, reportedly.
So the fact that 5 allegedly. Assists at that point was prior to that. So I think even if he gets 4 assists, that will be like
no,
sort of like apportioned
no
out
no
to 5
no.
But we're gonna get 5 just to really shove it in your face. I'm very excited about it. I'm glad it came down to the last 2 games. What a magical way for this to happen, Kelly, my guy. Let's go. Let's do it, man. This is it. It's got to happen. If he gets 5 assists in both games and he does it,
yeah,
it is more the year than any year has ever been for anything.
For any team.
For any team or any company.
Wow.
This is the ultimate sign.
Of the year.
We bet I put the entire bank account on the Sixers if he does it. Say the word, babe. Let's go. Come on, Cal. Take me there.
Then I won't fuck with
we'll
you.
Talk to you Sunday night. Are you, or Sunday afternoon. Are you down with TTP?
Then yeah. You. No. Like face.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.